You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Here on the West Coast. Joining me now after his long weekend, the Gunner, man. How was, so you skipped school on Friday. You went out shooting. Yeah. How was it?
No, we went to a gun store.
A gun store? Did you see any ghost guns?
No.
You didn't see ghost guns?
No, you can't see ghost guns. They're ghosts.
They're ghosts. Why do you think they call them ghosts, stupid?
They have no serial number.
That makes it invisible.
A ghost.
Exactly. Yep. Okay. So what did you just went to a gun store?
Yeah.
And
I did.
And
Ralph, the gentleman with me,
right?
He goes and buys the 150 year anniversary Winchester 270 model with beautiful wood stock.
Right.
I mean, it's etched out beautifully, you know, and there's only a few of those, you know, not a lot of those things around. So he goes and buys one of those. Then he buys a beautiful white, a blonde maple 270 for his kid with a Zeiss scope. And then he goes, we bought a Tommy gun, a 45 caliber Tommy gun.
And so what did you buy? You could not allow that kind of aggression to go unchecked, could you?
Well, one, I don't have that kind of money to throw around.
What? I thought you were a toned-up gunner.
Yeah, but those rifles, man, that's ridiculous.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But I went and got a revolver and another Glock.
I didn't have any money, so I bought a revolver and a Glock. Oh, that's good. What kind of revolver?
A Smith & Wesson 38 Special Airframe, real lightweight, hammerless, and...
Smith &... So hold on. Smith & Wesson is like a Smith & Wesson what? What kind of
Smith
barrel?
Smith & Wesson 38, hammerless.
Is it how long is a barrel? Long barrel or short barrel?
Oh no! It's like a stub nose. It's for it's like concealed carry. It's called an airweight, so it's super lightweight.
So you'll be at the theater or getting a sandwich at Subway. You'll be packing your smoke wagon. You'll be ready to go.
Oh yeah.
Nice. All right. So you bought that, and then like that's not good enough. So you got to bust out another. So you got to get another Glock.
Another Glock.
How many Glocks?
Can't have enough.
How many Glocks can make one? Does it take to make one man happy?
I have 9.
What the hell? What are you like, John Wayne? You're like shooting them and then like throwing them over your shoulder, pulling another one out of your saddlebag?
No, they're different calibers. So,
what's this one?
I have a Glock, Glock 43. It's the new small 9mm.
I thought you could change. I thought they had interchangeable slides. That's one of the cool things about Glock.
No, I mean, no, not at all. They all look the same. That's what's nice about them. So learn one, learn them all. Mm-hmm. But I sent you a picture. Did you see the picture just now?
Yeah, all those ghost guns.
Those are all Glocks. Sitting on my workbench. I have a Glock 34, Glock 35, Glock 22, Glock 19, Glock 43, Glock 27, and a Glock 26. And then the others in the safe.
That's a lot of Glocks, man. That is a lot of Glocks. Do you keep the parts all? Do you have all the parts? What's the hammer for?
What?
What's the hammer for on the workbench? Why do you got a hammer out?
Oh, that was for something else. You don't need a hammer for a Glock. You just need the Glock tool. It's like a punch.
All right. And then you got in the upper right-hand corner, you got a wooden block with a couple things hanging out of it. What's that?
That's to work on stuff. So you pin it. those alligator clips, you hold it so I can either etch it or do something. You know, so that's just a table to hold stuff.
All right. Where'd you get the Glock? Where'd you get the Glock mat that goes down with the big with all the parts and stuff like that? What is that?
Got that at the Glock Armors course when I went through the Armors course.
The Glock Armors course. Wow. Do you have Glock pajamas?
No.
If you could get some, would you? Now, you sent me two pictures. Is it the same picture twice or what?
Yeah, I took two pictures. I don't know why.
Okay. All right. I've got to, I got a couple emails.
So if anybody's asking.
What?
What Gunner's favorite handgun is, we just talked about it.
Okay.
And if you want to call and argue about it, go ahead.
All right. We'll see. Let me read you a couple emails here. LOL. I was talking earlier today about, you know, in every good, you know, the president takes on the media, right? Then the Chris Wallace from Fox pushes back, you know, and says, hey, you can't tell us how to do our job. Like, is a free media bad? They're the enemies of the United States. Anyway, but like every good lie, every good political statement has elements of truth in it. Okay. So you're seeing a parallel between lying and politics if you haven't seen it before. In that if you know somebody who's a quality liar, because they blend like a good amount of truth, so that's, and then just enough of a lie to get them through, but not a big enough lie that you'll look at them and say, that's bullshit. Let's go. Come on. We're going out there right now. You won't do that with this lie. Okay. And so I think that's the same way with politics. It blends just enough of a stretch truth, a lie, a half lie, call it what you will, with enough of truth to have people go, And I think that's kind of going on with the country, because is a free press bad for the United States? No, absolutely not. It's one of the bedrocks. Is the American media operating?
It's biased.
Right.
The question is biased free press bad for America? Yes.
And so because I think people, when they hear Chris Wallace push back, you go, you know what, he's right. You know, a free press is. But then when you're watching the president's that crazy press conference he did, and you see him fighting with everybody, one of the things you find yourself doing is say, you know what, he's right. That was bullshit. You know, and so with that as a backdrop, let me read you this. LOL. Do we know the difference between Fox News and the political talk shows that Fox News Channel broadcasts? Half of America thinks the Russians rigged the election and that Trump is colluding with Putin, yet there has not been one shred of evidence to support that statement. WikiLeaks published emails from the DNC exposing the corrupt BS that goes on there. Somehow the media leaps that the Russians were trying to help Trump. The whole Flynn thing. Some very good sources are saying that Flynn didn't bring up the subject of sanctions, and he shut it down when the Russian ambassador did. The New York Times, Washington Post, and the Wall Street Journal have all reported fairy tales recently. I don't like Trump. He is not very articulate, and his words are rough. He brought this Russian BS upon himself inadvertently. However, it certainly looks like he has picked a team of doers. Shit needs to get done before things get out of control, more out of control than they are. Oh, please.
Right.
Biden charged the SS rent in Delaware the Secret Service rent in Delaware for 8 years. Let's talk about the vacations and separate airplanes, shutting down Martha's Vineyards, Hawaii every year for 8 years. Give me a break. And that was in reference to the Trump kids and the cost of Secret Service protection. So where does all this go, Mike? All this media fight. Does two things happen? Ultimately, does Trump tone his act down, and does the media do enough self-reflection to say, you know what? You know, we do need to check. Our reporters need to check their facts. Our opinion people can do whatever the hell they want. Our reporters, though, that stuff needs to be straight up. Do you think that's what's going to come out of this, or
no? The reporter? No. Why would the news people tell their reporters to check themselves?
Because it's journalism. That's what reporters are supposed to do.
That's gone, Mac. They teach that in the school, but they don't practice it in real life. That doesn't sell. It's boring, Mac. You know that.
So,
truth reporting is boring. Who wants to hear the truth? That's why National Enquirer and the Sun and the Daily, you know, the tabloids are who what they are. That's why TMZ is, you know, a $1 billion company. People like the gossip. They like the lie.
I know, but there's major institutions though who are bedrocks and say they are. Am I being Pollyanna? Am I being?
Yeah.
Is the Sound of Music soundtrack playing in the background?
Yep, I can see her dancing, Julie Andrews, right now.
Oh well. Okay, now I had a guy named. Hold on. Here's one more. I had a guy named, and you may know him because you worked on Iron Fist, but he's a colonel by the name of Grant Newsham. He's been working with the Japanese Self-Defense Force. You ever meet him?
Don't
know. Okay.
No.
Japanese come over, and he was talking about the exercise they do at Camp Pendleton, blah, 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 blah. So had him on for an hour, and we talked about. So, Mike, they grabbed an island that's 150 miles off the coast of the Philippines, called the Scarborough Shoal.
Right.
Now that's not the same one as the Spratlys; they're way further south.
No, Scarborough Shoals is a big fishing area. It's been contested for a long time.
Right. Yeah, Japanese said, "Hey, we had a fisherman go over there like with a dinosaur, and that belonged to us." And it was interesting what Grant Newsham said. He retired colonel. He said, "Look, General Tulin, what he said is right. They believe they're contained, and if you look at a map, you can see they are. And the only way they break contain is they need to start building things on these islands that are owned by the Philippines." That are owned by the Japanese, mm-hmm. And they're now saying that like the Ryukyus, which is Okinawa, belong to them, historically
right.
Belong to them. And he said, "But look, what did we do when they grabbed Scarborough Shoal? What did we do?" He said, "Nothing.
Nothing.
We issue a strongly worded statement from the State Department, and we don't do anything." And he said, "Look, it's a recipe for disaster, and all we have to do is look to World War II relative to how the Allies treated Hitler, and what did Hitler do? He just ignored him, and he kept doing what he was doing." So it's kind of interesting. Let's see. This is about the Japanese islands, the fishing islands. Senkaku Islands Dispute from Wikipedia. The Senkaku Island Dispute, or Diaoyu Island Dispute, concerns a territorial dispute over a group of uninhabited islands known as Senkaku Islands in Japan. This is not some recent controversy. Also, Japan's weakened defense was a U.S.-dictated outcome of their defeat in the war. Japan could change that anytime they want to, and they need to.
Right.
All right. Your lack of context on some issues seems a little reckless in terms of conveying certain points of view implicit when discussing and presenting facts to an audience that may lack a deeper understanding. It seems potentially misleading by intent, for example, to depict Japan as having attempted to take a free ride at the expense of the U.S. It seems to drum up conflict in a domain that is already conflict-ridden, without the need for embellishment. Just a thought based on listening to today's show with a pre-existing sense of context on topics. The requisite neutrality is not conveyed during today's show. How about that, Mike?
Mm. I like it.
How about that? Yeah. Well, I have this to say about that. Japan has gone on a free ride. Period. Now, if they wanted to renegotiate the terms of the surrender in 1945, what do you think the United States would say to that? Do you think the United States would welcome having a partner in Japan with a full-fledged military so that they could do some of the heavy lifting in the Western Pacific that the United States does?
Sure.
What do you think? What do you think the what is that? ANZAC, Australia, New Zealand.
Yeah, ANZAC.
What do you think? What do you think that alliance would say if Japan said we'd like to become a full-fledged member and not some lame-ass weight on everybody else's ass? What do you think they would say, Mike?
Who, ANZAC?
Yeah. What do you think they would say? You think they would say, "Oh no, oh, China's a free
no,
democracy."
They would jump. They would jump right on it.
They would jump right on it. So. To suggest that China is some kind of waif that the United States has bludgeoned into this, I think is fiction. So anyway, but he was pretty interesting about that until the United States wants to confront China, that China will continue to build fortresses on islands and they're not going to give them back.
And yeah, so, why should they? Yeah.
Yeah. So I found it interesting how General Mattis's comment to the NATO members was, hey, look, there should be no way in hell that that your safety should be a greater priority for American taxpayers and American soldiers than it is for you guys. All right? There should be no way that it's a greater priority. And yet, it seems like that's the way it's become. So, same thing, memo to Germany, right? Dust off the drums, right? Roll the more tanks out. You've got to become, you know, a bigger member. And we're over World War II. 75, 80 years in the rearview mirror. Let's get over it there. We have serious shit going on the planet, right? And it's not Japan right this time. It's China. And we just need to say, look, if there's a dispute, take it to the Hague? Take it to the Hague where they resolve those kind of disputes. And in fact, I think they already did it. And the Hague ruled, yeah, China has no case for laying claim to any of those islands. If they belong to anybody, they belong to the Philippines. So anyway, I just kind of, he was very, Grant Newsham is a interesting guy making his living now. On Chinese, Japanese American relations. So interesting. Well, anything?
Yeah, I may have run into him.
I'm sure
but
you have.
I don't remember the name.
I'm sure you have. I recall seeing his name, in those meetings, and I know Mike was a part of, that. And I know because, he iron fisted more than a few times. And
oh, yeah.
He shut down a few beaches because of it and all of that. All right.
Yeah.
We need to take a break. All right. And then I got another email or two when we come back. The Gunner, after a hiatus, rejoins the program here on a Monday edition of on a holiday Monday edition of All Marine Radio right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. As we recognize PTSD Awareness Month, Real Warriors Campaign volunteer Meg Mitchum, a former Army combat medic who served in Iraq, encourages fellow warriors to reach out when they need help.
The hardest step was admitting that I needed help coping with PTSD. Once I did, my command and unit fully supported me, and I was able to get the care I needed. Getting support helped me succeed in the military and now in my civilian career.
If you or a loved one is coping with an invisible wound, resources are available and they work. For more information, visit the Real Warriors campaign at realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.
As we recognize the service of America's men and women in uniform, let's also honor the families who sacrifice so much every day. Military families endure frequent deployments and separations. They carry on while their loved ones are sent into harm's way and wait patiently for their safe return. If you really want to honor a veteran, look for ways to support their families and thank them for their sacrifices. Go to legion.org/honorveterans to find out how you can help.
This is Montel Williams. As a U.S. Navy and Marine Corps veteran, I know the sacrifice that our servicemen and women make for us every single day. If you're a veteran or a military member transitioning out of the service, help is available to you. The U.S. Department of Labor can help you get training, find a good job, or further your education. Contact the Veterans Employment and Training Service at 866-487-2365 or visit dol.gov/vets.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. .37 on the West Coast on a Monday, President's Day. The Gunner back from his own three-day weekend. How was your weekend, Mike? Did you do anything exciting?
Went to dinner at some friend's house. What did we do? I don't know. It just went by in a blur. It was a fast weekend.
Really?
Yeah. It was quick.
I was helping people move. What else was I doing? I was fixing a computer. I fixed something else, too. I fixed my stove.
I went to lunch with a buddy.
Did you? What'd you have? You have good food? You seem to be going to lunch a lot.
I do.
Hey, listen to this. So I turn my stove on. And one of the burners won't go on, though. Okay? So you hear the click, 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 click of the gas, but there's no...
Yeah.
I smell gas, but it's like... So now I've got to explore that system. Are you an explorer when it comes to repairing?
Yes.
Yeah, see, I am too.
Absolutely, man.
So I go get my tools... and so I look at the burner and I take the little cap off and then I look and I see instead of being nice shiny silver piece, it's got some kind of like something that got into the burner somehow or other and dried there, right? After it was heated or something. And I think, okay, something's clogged. Yep. So now I'm looking and I take a brush and I clean as much of that stuff off. Still doesn't work. Now we're going to have to go to phase three maintenance, okay? Depot level. I've got to take this piece off the stove and, to reveal the ignition spark. So I take the cap and then the crown that goes on top of it that forces the gas to the side, right?
Right.
Are you with me on that? So I take the cap off, and bigger than hell, here's this there's food or something on this sparker. So I turn it on, and it's sparking a little, but not like what I think it should be. So I clean it off. Looks okay. Put it back on. Still no spark. And it was kind of an ingenious little learning experience because Now I take a look at the crown, the cap, if you will, this piece of metal that gets tied to the top of the gas line. And I look at it, and I'm thinking, okay, how does this work? How does the spark do something somewhere? There must be, and then I see it, there's a little hole that runs between that body and where the spark happens. The hole was clogged. Go get a needle and thread, and I take it, and I clean that up, and then make sure it's drilled, put it back on, boom. Gas.
Yeah, good feeling.
And I don't care how menial or stupid it is, I love to do that kind of stuff and learn and kind of see how it's made. I think it's really cool. I mean, it's basic gas line coming into your home, right? There's a cap, which has, you know, this little tiny hole that gas goes through. And it's just a little bit wider than a needle. And then there's a spark, like, compartment that is enough gas to ignite the flame. The flame now is this little thing is grooved, so that's where the gas flames go out of. And then just a little cap sits on top of the whole thing and makes the whole thing work. It's a small piece of genius. The gas stove. Yeah. That was my epiphany yesterday. Loved it. Loved it, loved it, loved it. Now, let me tell you another little epiphany. If you were to give anybody a piece of advice relative to moving, other than don't do it, don't help anybody, what would that piece of advice be?
I've always had movers move me.
Oh, really? You never moved yourself? Ever?
No. It's too much work.
Well, that is. Let me tell you, can go to Home Depot and you can get those sliding dolly kind of things. It's just a little platform with wheels on it and some carpet on it. Thing makes moving nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. And
yeah, I never volunteer to help someone who was on the second floor. Call in sick.
All right. Call in sick? Come on, man.
If he lives on the, if he has a second floor?
Yeah. Okay. A friend of ours is in one of the most, I don't know, what would you call General Kelly's position? One of the most controversial positions?
Yeah, right now, yeah.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Homeland Security.
All right. General Mattis in Iraq. He's in Baghdad today, and General Kelly. Was a picture of him on the Associated Press website talking about sweeping changes for the administration relative to immigration enforcement. Now, are you buying that? Because what the administration is saying is that look, we're just continuing to do the things that
bullshit. I don't even have to go any further, and I say bullshit to that because I have buddies that are working either in ICE, Customs, and Border Patrol. And right now, Border Patrol is kind of stagnant because there's no money. There hasn't been any money. They can't do their job because the government didn't fund them. And their head dude basically was all about once you wrap this guy up, you give him a temporary visa and you let him go in a court hearing, which they never appeared to. And then they are in the country illegally. Now ICE is out there knocking on doors or busting them down, one of the two, sending people home that don't need to be here. You know, so this whole people are saying, well, they're just enforcing. No, there was nothing in enforcement on the books. It was a catch and release program. It's not enforcement. Now we're talking enforcement. Now my buddies in those departments are saying, finally we can go do what I signed up to do. you know, and they don't have to second guess. Do we let this guy go?
All right, let me read you an email. Hey, Mac. I enjoyed the conversation today with Grant Newsham. How did the Obama administration get a pass for allowing the Chinese to simply grab an island 150 miles off the coast of the Philippines, for God's sake?
One of our partners at the time. Because, again, how did they get a pass?
Yeah, I think that the answer to that is pretty simple.
Yeah. I mean, one, the media didn't cover that until it was too late. Two, you know, what could we do to stop them? You know, that was one of the main reasons why the Filipino leader basically stuck up his nose to Obama. You say you're our friend, and but yet when we need your help, where are you?
I said before that history will judge President Obama harshly.
Well, maybe, because history teachers are liberal too.
Give me an instance where he stood up for something other than for some kind of social agenda. I mean, let me tell you, he gets
well in his campaign.
He gets high. No, but honestly, I mean, he gets high marks for, you know, social engineering. I mean, and I'm not. You know, I mean, you know, people can say, well, that's important or that's not important. But you know, I think that you know, the progress that of you know, gay America, transgender America, all made under his administration was you know, and he as the president of the United States is a piece of that. Okay, so
also is this social experiment.
Okay.
Didn't care.
Well, okay, but let me just give him high marks for that, okay? Let me say that, you know, he opened
whatever.
Up. Okay, so look around the world, how the world has fallen apart. How did he make it better, you know? And Grant Newsham, you know, said, look, the only thing that happened with relative to the Chinese is that, you know, we gave them what they want. We didn't contest it.
Right.
That's it? Yes. Man, how does that work? How does not Australia, Japan, South Korea, the United States, all the Pacific partners, Guam, Taiwan, all not stand up to China and say, no, sorry, this is not going to happen? How do we not organize that? How do we not make that happen? And even if it is, look, we don't want to get into a shooting war with you, but 150 miles from the Philippines, it's like, are you kidding me? That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So anyway, I don't know. Maybe we're all focused.
That's a very short list of what you want to think President Obama did while he was president.
Maybe
of overseas policy.
Maybe it's a we're too focused on a different part of the world.
What part of the world was he focused on?
A part that he was giving.
Iran?
He was giving. He
making deals with Iran?
He couldn't give Iraq. He couldn't give Iran enough stuff. He wouldn't make a deal with Iraq in terms of keeping our people there. That's what I'm saying. I mean, when you look at his. So in Iraq, you know, they wanted us to keep more. He said no. And so we left, which helped create. Help create ISIS, right? With relative
to seeded it. It was part of the fertilizer that went down. It didn't make it any better. That's for damn sure.
Well, no, Bush signed a treaty, got it, but he had 3 years. He had 3 years to renegotiate the treaty, and they told Susan Rice, "Hey, we want 25,000 troops to stay here," and we said, "No, we'd like 5,000." He said, forget it. Take a hike. Okay, so now on to Iran. I'm not Obama hating, But again, you just can't be weak all the time and expect this thing not to be, because when you look at the map of China and the Western Pacific, you know, bigger than snot, man. Start at the north, the Korean Peninsula. Then you go to Japan. Then you go to the Ryukyus, right, which is Okinawa. Then you go to Taiwan. Then you go to the Philippines. Then you go to Indonesia. On the backside of that, you have Australia. You have New Guinea. And it goes up to Guam and then Hawaii. Okay? So there's two lines out there. One of them, and we own both of them. So, like, why does the United States not lead some kind of an effort to say this is not going to happen?
Well, your guess is as good as mine.
I don't know. All right. Just checking.
Yeah. Who knows?
Just checking. I don't know. The world going to adjust. Now, so the social narrative relative to John Kelly, what is that going to be, Mike? What is the story that's going to be written relative to the Department of Homeland Security? Are they going to become the jackbooted stormtroopers of the United States that are kicking down doors?
Media wants to portray him that way. Yeah, media really wants to portray him that way. Of, look, you're going to separate this family and to kick out these parents? You know, that's what the media is trying to portray right now. But
okay, let me
what
read
about
you,
these innocent children?
Let me read you some headline. If you just put DHS in. DHS is preparing to release sweeping immigration overhaul. This is 1 hour ago, CBS. Draft DHS guidelines sharpen focus on those here illegally. DHS authorizes hiring 10,000 immigration officers. Memo signed by DHS Secretary describes sweeping new guidelines. I won't even read that because I don't even recognize it. And then a bunch of these things, it's kind of interesting because if I search on DHS, I get CBS News, Seattle Times, Breitbart, and then it's highly cited, in-depth, and then a blog, TampaBay.com. Okay, then the next one is Democracy Now. Is that a news source? The next one is Lawfare. The next one is the Missoulian. The next one is a TV station. The next one is New York Daily News. The next one is The Hill. So it's interesting in that there's a lot of blogs that appear under news, you know?
Right.
And so when you begin to click on this, so here's this headline from Democracy Now. DHS memo, speed up mass deportations and prosecute parents. Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. What's going on?
And the way you read that, again, it's an agenda. You know, I saw a story and I was so pissed the way this news agency was covering the story. And I forget who did it, but they were talking about this 27-year-old girl who came to America illegally with her parents when she was 7. You know, in the meantime, when she became 18 and went on to live her life and doing her own thing, again, legally, her parents filed petitions to become U.S. citizens, and over time they did. They became U.S. citizens.
Okay.
She, on the other hand, did not. She put it off. Then she gets caught. So she's facing being deported to Mexico where she doesn't know anybody. And she's totally upset with this. So 8 years or 9 years later, you had 9 years to do the right thing. 9 years. And when you get caught, now it's an issue. Now it's, but what about, no. But the news was making it sound like, this poor girl going to college, and again, I don't know how they do that, but going to college in the United States, got a degree, working a job, and then she decided to go on a trip, and I don't know if she had a fake passport or something, but she got busted before she left, and they're trying to make a news story out of this, like, oh, poor girl. Why not cover the point? Hey, reporter, ask her, what'd you do in the last 9 years when, you knew you're here legally and you could have filed at any time, had a hearing, done this, and then been here legally. Why don't you ask that question? Some people are saying, well, that's the problem with this policy. No. That's not the 4 million people we're talking about.
Okay, look, I have this to say about that. I don't have any problem with her being here. And we need to control the southern border, but if you've been here for 9 years and all that, then figure it out, okay? She didn't do what's right, and I agree. It's on her. And so now you're going to have to do it the hard way. You could have done it the easy way.
Yeah, she's blaming the system,
right?
She's blaming it's her fault.
It's her fault. I got it. But my point is this. I think, maybe I'm wrong. I think that most Americans, if you're a hardworking person and you're here illegally, all right, we need to lock the door. And then once we lock the door, we need to find a way for you to become a citizen, right? You go plead guilty.
Find out who's here.
Right. If you're a criminal here. But if you're a criminal here, you're going home.
Right.
And I think most Americans have that perspective. They don't want to see people, you know, get thrown out of the country that are here, hard work and honest people. Am I wrong about that or am I right, Mike?
No, I think you're right about that. People that are here that, you know, came for a better life, achieved it, and now live in the American dream, and they're still not documented U.S. citizen. Okay, yeah. We can be upset that they didn't do it, but don't blame the system. Go, we'll fix it and then do it right.
Right.
But if you're here illegally and you're a criminal or you're doing criminal type of activities, yeah, you're going home.
And, you know, they had some kind of, I don't know what happened in LA. I don't know. It was sometime last week because it was raining because I was watching some video and there was this big protest and the ICE people said, look, this is the same stuff we've been doing.
Okay. Yeah.
What we're doing is we have leads on criminals that happen to be illegal in the country illegally. That's what we did tonight. It's the same stuff we did under President Obama, but completely different. So I got to thinking about it, and my question was this. Okay, well, let me ask you immigrants something. You Hispanic immigrants, what system would you like to see that's fair? Okay, knowing that we can't continue to have an open border. Okay, so accept that we have to somehow or other control the border. What system would you like to see happen? What do you think is good? And I'm just curious what you would get in terms of when you're here illegally. And I don't know. I think I know what the answer is. Hey, real quick, John McCain calling pretty critical of the president over the weekend. And then Rand Paul saying, hey, thank God McCain's not the president. Your thoughts on McCain's comments about this is how dictator starts. I mean, are you a McCain hater? Like her?
Yeah.
You're a McCain hater?
No. Yeah. He's outlived his
usefulness.
Yeah. Thank you for your service, John.
Grumpy old man?
He's out for lunch, man.
Right. Well, like a lot of this, I think he's like partly right, partly out to lunch. I think he'd make some good points. But I do think he's a grumpy old man. I do think there should be an age limit in the Senate, right?
I think you got to pass a test that Nancy Pelosi would fail.
I think once you hit 70, I think you can go home now. Time for you to retire. Time for somebody else to take your chair. That's just my thought. All right. What else you got going today?
Mostly, like I said, just today's going to be working on guns.
What about the model?
Don't start drawing conclusions.
that means I'm right. Now he's going to try to reroute me. Go ahead.
No. The model's got its first base coat. It's hanging. It's been hanging. I just sent a picture to you.
I love that.
And so you'll see, got his first base coat. You know, the whole thing, I have to still more of the detailed color, more painting, touch up, stuff like that. But
sounds like a big job.
As you can see the picture, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you think?
Hold on. Give me a second.
Pretty good. Yeah, so that's going to take some time.
All right, so it's painted green.
From the top.
From the top.
So if you're looking, I don't know why they did that. That's the color scheme from World War II. So, and then they had the white and black stripes.
That looks stupid.
What?
That's, it looks stupid to me.
That's an original paint job from World War II, man. Don't hate on that.
Can I not say it looks stupid?
No.
All right, my bad.
Americans flew those planes, not that one, but...
Americans flew those planes, son.
The fascism of Germany, you know, in the air...
I didn't say they didn't do quality work, man. I said that the paint job looks stupid. Like, why are there stripes? Why isn't there...
That's the Normandy invasion thing.
Why isn't it pixelated?
They didn't pixelate back then.
Why didn't they MARPAT that bitch? Yeah, that's the question. Why didn't they MARPAT it? And don't tell me because there was no MARPAT.
They painted them silver instead of that robin eggs blue because when they were flying high, it was harder to pick up silver in the sky.
I would think silver would be, you'd know, it would be invisible, essentially.
Well, it glints.
So?
I think it would be like flying a mirror.
Only if you were standing at the right angle with the sun. So, yeah, maybe that guy. But everybody else? How are you going to see a silver thing streaking through the sky? Yeah. Have you ever seen Superman? No, you haven't.
Oh,
you want to know why? That's right.
Superman's blue.
I know. He should change that because it's too easy to PID him. Anyway. All right.
You're talking about Silver Surfer.
Exactly. That's who I'm talking about. Silver Surfer. That boob. All right. Have a nice lunch, man.
You too, man.
Nice to hear your voice. All right. See you later.
All right.
That is the Gunner. Hey, I want to thank, in order of appearance, Justin Constantine for coming on this morning and talking liberal politics, him being a Manhattan guy. Loves to do it. I want to thank Bill in Ohio for contributing his fair and balanced opinion. And then Grant Newsham, Colonel, United States Marine Corps Reserve, retired. Loved having him on and his kind of blunt assessments of what happens in the Pacific. So enjoyed having Grant on. And as always, the Gunner. Always an interesting discussion with him. So tomorrow, Lieutenant Colonel Jack Keenan will do the Marine Corps Gazette Hour with him. And then on Wednesday, Medal of Honor winner, Barney Barnum, Colonel, United States Marine Corps, retired, going to join us. And we'll talk about the Medal of Honor, get his thoughts on that. So an interesting guy. Went on to serve as Undersecretary of the Navy. So fun guy to talk to, Barney Barnum. Have a great afternoon. All Marine Radio on a Monday. Happy President's Day to everybody. Out.